Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to be here and to have the opportunity to share God's word with you. Marie is not with me this morning. She is in Haiti. She went to help get the school ready for Tuesday and the children. She bought all the uniforms and stuff to get them ready. And we also needed to have a new teacher because our main teacher had left for Brazil to go find her fiancé or something. So we had to find. We have another teacher now. So we still have a teacher and a helper. So we ask for your prayers for this year. And these children are excited. As you know, that because of their situation, they were not very appealing to normal schools in the neighborhood because they had different levels. They were at different levels and different age groups. They didn't fit anywhere. So we had to manage to have their own school for them, and that's going. So please continue to pray for us as we continue in our journey. You've been with us, you've been helping us, and we thank you, and we pray that you will continue to be with us. In his letter to the brethren in Galatia, which is a region of present-day Turkey, Paul showed how the gospel of grace leads to true freedom and godly living. According to ESV, the English Standard Version of the Bible, the central message of Galatians is that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. The call to believe in Christ and adhere to his word, to adhere to his commandment, is indeed quite evident in Galatians, especially in chapter 6, verse 2. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, we read, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's interesting that Jesus is not suggesting that we carry each other's burden. It is a command that you will help me and that I will help you. So we need to carry each other's burden. So to love one another, this morning in a Bible study we talk about love. And to love is not a suggestion, it's a command. In John 15, verse 12, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Love each other as I have loved you. Jesus doesn't say to love each other, but to love each other just as he has loved us. That's a different level of love. Because you could say you love me, I could say I love you, but how far will you go to show me that you love me? Jesus went all the way to the cross. And I remember seeing a place where they showed you and somebody who asked the question and asked Jesus, "Do you love me? And how much do you love me?" And they said, well, Jesus showed his love by just saying to the person, "I love you this much." And he hung on the cross and died. So that's how much love that Jesus has for us that he showed us on the cross. So Paul is right by showing love to one another and by bearing each other's burdens, we are fulfilling the law of Christ because Christ wants us and commands us to love one another. But I was reading some comments that an unknown commentator says. He says that some have to carry heavier burdens than others. And some of us have little conception of the hidden burdens that some, maybe our own friends, are carrying. Often, the deepest and most poignant burdens are not seen. So some, we don't carry the same amount of burdens. Some carry more than others. And it's interesting that even in our own family, even in the church, if we're not careful, we may not realize how much burdens that our brother, our sister is carrying. Because we don't pay attention to see how much. And sometimes, because they don't tell us. And in the church, if we are truly the church that Jesus calls us to be, we should be able to tell each other, to share our burdens with each other so that they can help. We cannot expect people to help us if we won't tell them our needs. If we won't share our needs with them, then they cannot help us. I read this and I thought, that's a true observation. Very often we have no idea what our own friends, own brothers, own sisters are going through. And I look at the word burden from the Collins English Dictionary. And it says, a burden is anything one has to bear or put up with. Could be heavy load, as work, could be duty, responsibility, or sorrow. So anything that anyone has to put up with is a burden. So if we care about someone, if we know that we are members of the Lord's church, if we understand what it means to be the Lord's church, we will try to help each other and empathize with each other. If you know what's keeping someone up at night, then you should try your very best to be supportive and empathize with them. Now, what kind of burdens do people normally carry? As we said, that not everyone carries the exact same burden. What are some of the burdens that people carry? Words of Life studies suggest the following kinds of burdens. One of them is burdens to do with the home. To some people, the home that's supposed to be a sweet place, can be a burden. It is said that many young people that you see on the street, they are in the street because at home it's worse than the street. Can you imagine? It's worse to be at home than to be on the street. So they choose the street. So for some people, Mother's Day, Father's Day that we love is a bad reminder of what it felt like to live with this person. It's good that, like, for us who were blessed with a good father, with a good mother, we may not be able to relate to that. But we must be ready and understand that some people may be carrying that kind of burdens, and to be able to empathize and help as much as we can. Some people are looking for a job, a new job. Looking for a new job can be a burden. It may not be a burden to you because you have a good job. You have a job that you can go to. You don't think about somebody who's looking for a job. Someone says that just looking for a job can be considered a full-time job. Just to try to get to that job. So we must be willing to help if we know a place where there is a job opportunity, something that we could help with, so we could try it and do that. Some may want to leave their current job. That can be a burden. Because if you have had bad managers in the past, you may relate to that. It can be very hard if you have a bad manager and you need to leave. We're not encouraging people to leave your job. But sometimes you have to do that because it's just not working. Someone may be searching for a serious relationship. Again, for those of us who have been blessed with our spouse for a long time. So we're living the life. We don't
Think about these things. I don't even know how to date somebody. Now, but for those who are searching, who are looking, the young people, who, it is a burden. So as a church, we need to make, like create these opportunities where people can meet and where they can meet with God-fearing people. Otherwise, it can be a burden for them because they know what not to do. They know whom not to date. But they can't find the ones that they should be dating. So it can be a burden. Just because we are not in that category doesn't mean that we should ignore. That can be a burden. The burden of loss and bereavement. In John chapter 11, verse 19, in John 11, 19, there we read that at the death of Lazarus, many of the Jews visited Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. It is comforting to know that people care. People should know that the church that Jesus built cares. Jesus expects us, his followers, to be caring, to be loving, and not just to say it, but to show it. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, in 2 Corinthians 11, 28, Paul was not concerned about his own health. He wasn't concerned about what bothered him personally. Beside all these things, he said, beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. I have my own problems, Paul said. You remember Paul said he had his thorn in the flesh? Yes, he has his thorn in the flesh. Paul had his own problems. So despite everything that he was going through, Paul was put in prison. Paul was beaten. He faced everything personal to himself. But besides all these things, he said he faced daily the pressure of his concern for all the churches. Do you have any concern for the churches? Do you have concern for those out there who are dying without Christ? Do you even care about them? Do you even know that there are so many who are truly seeking to know God's will, but who have not yet come to the conclusion of doing what they know they need to do? Do you care? Do you pray about these things? And as we said this morning, it is not our job to pressure anybody, but it is our job to remind people of the need to come to God. And we should be concerned for the Lord's church just as Paul was concerned. There is a way that appears to be right to men, but in the end, it leads to death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There are many who are taking away, who are looking for God in certain ways, while in fact, they should be going the other way. Jesus says that he is the only way to the Father. There is no way, the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. But there are many who are looking for Jesus through some other ways. There are many who think that they can serve God in other ways, through other so-called prophets. Well, Jesus is the only way to God. No one comes to the Father except through me, says Jesus. The duty of those who are spiritual, suggests Mark A. Copeland, include bearing with the infirmities of the weak. We need to bear with the infirmities of the weak. In Romans 15, verse 1 and verse 2, we read, Romans 15, 1, verse 1, verse 2, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. We who are strong, we have an obligation. It's an obligation that we would help the others, that we would bear with those who have special needs, those who are not as strong as we are. We are called to hold hands as we walk together towards heaven. Encourage one another. Jesus did just that. We need to follow the example of Christ and bear each other's burden. But it's interesting when we go to Galatians chapter 6 verse 5, it ends with bearing each other's burden. It says now in verse 5, we need to carry our own burden. What does that mean? That's a different kind of burden. So it starts with saying we need to bear each other's burden. Now in verse 5, it says that I need to bear my own burden. What does that mean? This is the word that calls for self-examination. What it means is that if I can self-examine myself, then I will know that whether I am in Christ, and I am going to see that because I can see myself, I am not as good as I think I am, and I am definitely not good enough to deserve salvation. Nobody is good enough to deserve salvation. Nobody deserves to be saved. We have been saved by God's grace. So when I self-examine myself, when I do that, when I do this self-examination, I will come to the conclusion that the others may be failing, but so I am. I need as much help as they do. I'm not good. I don't deserve anything. Therefore, this is the self-examination we are called to do. While eyes are important, somebody refers to say, well, when Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians, saying that we need to make sure that we don't think of ourselves higher than anybody else. There is no superstar in the Lord's church. We are all servants. As we were reminded this morning around the table, we are all servants. Jesus said that those who want to be considered higher, let them be your servants. Jesus came Colin said this morning, to save, to serve, and not to be served. Jesus, as the Son of God, did not come to be served by us, but he served us. And he gave us an example. And that's what you saw when he took the people. He said, I'm going to wash your feet, the feet of the disciples. That wasn't something new. The people had washed feet for centuries before Jesus came. But when he came, he said, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to wash your feet. So he was teaching them humility, to know that we need to humble ourselves before God and to not see ourselves as higher than anybody else. If you remember, before he washed their feet, on the road to that place, they were discussing among themselves who was the greatest in the kingdom. It was about position. Who was the greatest? And Jesus said, well, let me wash your feet. That means I should be the greatest among you, and yet I am serving you. So we are called, as Colin reminded us this morning, to be servant and not to seek to be served. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 10 now, we are called to be, because the first one was to care to carry the burdens of each other. The second one is that I would carry my own burden. That means I would look for clear understanding of myself, that I'm not that good. Now, Paul turns to another kind of caring. He says, now in Galatians 6, verse 7 to verse 10, we need to care for the others. And Barnes notes about Galatians 6, verse 7 to verse 10. Barnes notes says, Paul reminds them of the solemn day of judgment when all will be tried. He assures them that people will be judged and rewarded according to their works. And he entreats them not to be weary in well-doing, but to labor patiently in doing good, with the assurance that they should reap in due season what God leaves for them. So, do not be deceived, verse 7 said. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And verse 10 says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So God expects us to go out there, to get out there and do good. And I always hear, especially when it comes the time for graduation, when people are giving speeches, they are encouraging the graduates to get out there and do well. You've done it. You deserve it. You've made it. Go out there and do well. When the Bible tells us to go out there and do good, and to do good to all people. Sometimes we are asked by individuals about the Haiti mission. One lady in particular, she's a medical doctor from out west, and she wrote to me and said that, I am not a Christian. In fact, I don't believe much about Christianity and so on, but I see the work that the church is doing. I'd like you to give me some more information. And she said, is this work that you are doing in Haiti taking care of Christians only? And I said, no. When the kids come, we don't ask them where they come from, whether their parents are Christian or not. We help them as we see their need. And none of them really would have come from a Christian background. We don't even know them. So that's not a requirement. Hopefully, by teaching them as they come, by seeing how we live, by extending love to them, they would choose to become like us, like Paul says, and become Christians. But we don't want them, we don't expect them to be qualified before they can come here that they are Christians from a Christian family. That's not what we do. So we do good to all. The command is to do good to all people, but especially those who are in the faith. So God's expectation is clear. Bear each other's burden, love and care for each other. To bear our own burden, that means not to be arrogant, to think that only you and only me can do something good for the Lord, and that what others do doesn't matter. We all work. We are all workers in the Lord's vineyard. We are all servants. And when we do the best we can, we have simply served to the best of our abilities. We are servant. And God expects us to do good to all. And before we finish, I'd like to share that with you. I don't know if you saw that on the, it was one of the articles of the Toronto Star in August 17. The August 17 issue of the Toronto Star, there was an article about three Haitian boys, aged 3 to 4. They need life-saving heart surgery. They are in Haiti. And in the Toronto Star, apparently there is an organization that had reached out to Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto. And Sick Kids says, we will do the surgery if we have 3 families that will take care of these kids for 2 months as they recover and take care of the kids and the parents as they recover. And when I was listening to the radio, 680 News, I heard that, and I said, well, let me reach out to these people and see how we could help. And when I sent the email to the contact they gave us, and one day later, they wrote to us, and guess what? He said, the answer is no. We don't need your help. 300 other families have already reached out They selected three families of 300 already. Within 2 days, 300 families, not Christians, nothing to do with the church. So people are good. People will help if they see a genuine need. They helped. And the interesting, while I had just sent that email to the contact, and a sister from the church sent me a note saying that, "Jean, have you seen this?" I said, "Yes, I have." And she said, "We'll help you help those." I said, "Well, I've already sent that note. I'm waiting for an answer." And when I got the answer back, I shared that with her. I said, "Well, they don't need our help. 300 people have responded, and they see people are helping. People will help if they see the need." So I think this is an amazing thing. And if the world can do that, then we are expected to do better as Christians. So the Lord expects us to do good to all nations, to all as much as we can. So it was important that Paul reminded them to do good, and to do good especially to those in the family of God. So for those who have not yet obeyed the gospel, our time is flying. Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 24, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed from death to life." Jesus says, if you hear my word and obey my command, you have just crossed from death to life. You have left death behind. You have now just obtained salvation for your soul. But it's said, whoever hears my word and believes it. So of course, it all starts with hearing the word. And if you are here this morning, you have heard the word. And once you hear the word, you would follow that with faith in the word. If you hear the word and believe it, then you will confess your faith in the Lord. You will repent of your sins, and you will be baptized for the remission of your sins. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36 and following, when Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, the crowd was there, and about 3,000 asked, "What do we do? What can we do to be saved?" When they understood the need to obey God's will, they asked the question, "What do we need to do now?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." That's what it is. If you are here today and you are willing to obey the Lord's will, you are subject to this invitation, then let me encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing number 628. 669. 869. 869. Let's stand as we sing, please.